shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Life or lives? Let's suppose for a moment that this is a legitimate choice. How many times have you heard people say, if I had it to do over again, I would do things differently? Thinking about what our life is brings the what if into play. It has been said, hindsight is 20/20. Would it not be great if life could be built upon perfect vision? Imagine if the Monday morning quarterback could rewind the clock, retain the knowledge of the Sunday's game, and then replay that same game. What would your finances be like if you were able to go back into the past with the knowledge you have today? What horse, game, or event would you bet on? What stocks would you buy? And what investments would you make? Would you choose the same mate or the same career path? Would it not be a gift from God to be able to start life with everything learned from living life? Is this just a fanciful daydream which should not be given further consideration? No answer ever appears until a question is asked. Perhaps the first question that needs answering is, what is life? Philosophers have been grappling with this one for millenniums, but to no avail. The dictionary gives only a vague definition for life, and like science, it thinks it to be a metabolic function. However, no one sees their life as just a metabolic function, but as a complexity of experiences over time. No matter how anyone defines life, it always seems to be confined to the world of time. Man's intellect has even made divisions within this time prison called past, present, and future. Language and conscious thought is based upon this time triangle. But this is a pseudo-separation, like taking a triangular glass prism and passing white light through it. The prism bends the beam of the entering white light and causes it to exit the other side as red, blue, green, and yellow bands of colored light. These are the same colors displayed by the rainbow. A raindrop acts as a prism and refracts the white sunlight passing through it. Our English word refract comes from the Latin word refrigerare, which means to break. This light breaking is only a temporary effect, and the red, blue, green, and yellow color bands soon disappear. Actually, they do not disappear, but recombine back into white light. Time is broken in its past, present, and future components, just like light. But instead of a glass prism, it is the mind that causes the pseudo effect. Perhaps a clearer understanding comes from comparing time with a movie. The illusion of continuous action is created by the speed at which the individual pictures are taken and viewed. If 120 images are taken of an event in 2 seconds and played back at this same speed, then the mind is fooled into believing that this is motion. But in reality, it is only 120 individual pictures. If these same pictures are seen in 120 seconds instead of 2 seconds, then there is no illusion of motion. In the early days, movies were actually called motion pictures because of the deception played on the mind. Time is a similar trick on the mind. Everything in the physical, sensual world only exists in the time of past, present, and future. All speed is a measurement of time breaking. If a car goes 1 mile in 1 minute, then it has a speed of 60 miles per hour. It begins the journey in the past, continues it in the present, and completes it in the future. These three are always shifting. That is, when future is arrived at, then in an instant it becomes the present and immediately is relegated to the past. This happens outside of time because the transition of future to past cannot be measured. Past and future do not exist outside of present, and because of this, all three are a pseudo-creation of the third dimension world, which is based entirely on sensory information. From the very beginning, the Creator of all things established the laws for all things. This is not what is currently taught or portrayed as enlightened thinking, but is an eternal fact. It makes no difference whether anyone believes in gravity. Its law is absolute and eternal on earth. No one violates this law and does not suffer the consequences. There is a law of life as well. And even though all want to live, none understand this law. Where is one to look in order to find the knowledge of life? The Creator of all things has given us an owner's manual about this world. What we have been given is nature as God's visible word, the Bible as God's written word, and Jesus Christ as God's living word. All these are directed by the power of the universe, God's Spirit. God set up the whole physical creation with definite boundaries and limits, which are called laws. Without such hard and fast restrictions, science would not exist because nothing could ever be duplicated. Combining two atoms of hydrogen with one atom of oxygen will always produce one molecule of water, because of the absoluteness of these divinely established laws. It is through the utilization and implementation of these laws that all technology and life exists. Remove or add one law to this creation, and it would cease to be as we know it. The harmony and balance created by God's law is so far above man's mental capacity that it becomes unfathomable, and yet its perfection is continually displayed. How can we understand such principles? They are revealed by God's own Spirit in direct communication with our spirit. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit is a profound statement given by the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:16. Maybe it is too obvious to state, but we must have the Spirit with which God's Spirit communicates. It is the receiver that determines what is received. Simply put, you do not watch a TV program by turning on the radio or vice versa. Who then has the Spirit that God's Spirit communicates with? Go back to Romans 8:16 for the answer. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But who are the children of God? John 11:52, speaking of Jesus, says that he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Who are these that were scattered abroad? Notice what is written in James 1:1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Who are the 12 tribes? Revelation 21:12 says who the 12 tribes are when it speaks of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. They are first mentioned in Genesis 49:28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. So in the Bible, from the first book Genesis to the last book Revelation, the 12 tribes always refer to the children of Israel, and it is the children of Israel which were scattered and dispersed into all other nations prior to New Testament times. In Matthew 19:28, Jesus says, "That ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." No wonder Jesus said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Matthew 15:24. This is why he commanded his disciples in Matthew 10:6 to only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is the house of Israel that are the lost sheep, the 12 tribes, the scattered abroad, and the children of God. It is this race of people that contain the spirit with which God's spirit communicates. The house of Israel is not now or ever has been the Jews. Anyone who believes that the Jews are Israel, or that they are God's chosen people, is very ignorant of the clear statements of the Bible. No matter how many PhDs are behind anyone's name, what position they may hold in any organized churchy religion, political office, or position at any prestigious university, when they say that the Jews are the Israel of the Bible, they are expressing their complete ignorance and lack of understanding of the truths contained in God's Word. Read it for yourself. The Bible never says such rubbish. As a matter of fact, the Bible does say that the Jews are the children of the devil. According to Genesis, Eve gave birth to Cain and Abel after her love fest with the serpent and then with Adam. God told the serpent, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Genesis 3:15. Why would God put enmity between the serpent and the woman if the opposite had not already existed? Not only would he put enmity between these two, but also between their children, their seed. The woman's seed was Abel, whom Cain slew. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. "For God," said she, "hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew." Genesis 4:25. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that Adam was the father of Cain, or that Cain was the seed of the woman. Only Abel, and later Seth, carries the identity as the seed of the woman. Cain is the seed of the serpent. His father was the devil, the wicked one, as stated in 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Genesis 4:16 through 24 says that Cain went and lived in the land of Nod, got married, and had children. His descendants became known as the Canaanites. It was into this bloodline that Esau, the grandson of Abraham, married, which was a grief of mine unto Isaac and Rebekah, Genesis 26:35. It was for this reason that Jacob was sent off to live with his racial kinsman Laban. Read Genesis 27:46 and 28:1-2. God changed the name of Jacob to Israel, Genesis 32:28. And it was his 12 sons' descendants that would become known as the 12 tribes of Israel. The descendants of Esau would become known as the Edomites, in the Greek language, Edomians. It was these Canaanites, Edomites, that would be called Jews in the day of Jesus Christ. And today, this same race is still called Jews. Their origin as the seed of the serpent through Cain has forever fixed the characteristic of this race. This old serpent was known by other names, as pointed out in Revelation 12:9, which are the great dragon, the devil, and Satan. Is it hard to believe that the Jews are the children of the old serpent, the devil, and Satan, in light of the previous scriptures? Will you be convinced of it if Jesus says it? Read what is recorded in John 8:31-59. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. And they, these believing Jews, immediately began to argue with him. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" All this is true. These Jews, even the believing ones, were descended from Abraham. They were from Esau and not Jacob Israel. They were Edomites and not Israelites. Esau's children had never been in bondage, but Jacob's children had been in bondage for hundreds of years down in Egypt. So out of their own mouth, these Jews admitted that they were not Israelites. The serpent was their father. And that is why these Canaanite, Edomite Jews acted the way they did. Read on in John 8. "I know that you are Abraham's seed through Esau, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." Remember that it is these believing Jews in whom there was no place for the words of Jesus. "I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father." Jesus' word would never have any place in them because of their ancestry. Even though Christianism teaches that all anyone has to do is accept Jesus and believe on him, this is not according to the scriptures, nor is it according to the very words of Christ, as is clearly stated. These believers and Jesus do not have the same Father, and because of this, they will never hear his words, nor do his works. Continuing in John 8, they, these believing Jews, answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham." Just like today, they claim one thing and all the while the opposite is true. No, they were not the chosen bloodline from Abraham through Jacob Israel, but were frauds. Jesus exposes them by pointing to their works when he said, "But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." These believing Jews were seeking to kill Jesus and understood what he was saying to them. This is why they cried out, "We be not born of fornication." No, God was not their father, even though they were believing Jews, and they would never understand who Jesus is or his words. And furthermore, God would never be their father. Jesus sums all this up in the next two verses. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words, you are of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Never forget for one moment that Jesus told the believing Jews, you cannot hear my word. Why couldn't they? It is because they were the racial offspring of the devil. Contrary to church teachings, believing does not make anyone a child of God. God's children have always been his children, and he only has been their father. No man can change his father by accepting or believing something, and the scripture never teaches such a blatant lie. The Bible teaches the very opposite. It is because of who your father is that a person accepts or believes the truth of God's written and living word. Continue in John 8 and hear this from Jesus' mouth. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. These believers cannot hear because they are not of God. Notice that in the next verses, these believing Jews say Jesus is a bastard, a non-Israelite, full of the devil. Then answered the believing Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Within a couple of more verses, they repeat this blasphemy. Then said the believing Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. All this hatred from these believers was not limited to mere words, as recorded in the last verse of John 8. Then took they, the believing Jews, up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, if all this is done by those Jews which believed on him, what do you think non-believing Jews are all about? These serpent seed children of the devil, believing and non-believing Jews, are still doing the works of their father today. Don't be deceived by any of these serpents professing to be Christians, because this is just a superficial ruse. During the Spanish Inquisition, tens of thousands of Jews became believers, and thus infiltrated the church, which has become the perverted, devilish creature it is today. Paul warns in 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers are also transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose ends shall be according to their works. Jesus addresses these pretenders in Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Professions of faith, accepting Jesus, or believing on Jesus does not change who your father is, and these words do not change who you are either, for you are what your father is. He If you were not aware of these scriptures, well, maybe you are familiar with the 23rd chapter of Matthew. Reread it with scriptural, racial understanding, and it will begin to make sense to you. Verse 32 rings out with a deafening clarity. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. The finishing death toll is sounded upon this race in the 35th verse. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. From the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. These Jews are guilty of all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, even going all the way back to Cain who slew Abel. Why? Because they are the seed of the serpent through Cain and down through Esau's Canaanite wives. The Jews, as identified by the scriptures and our Lord Jesus Christ, are a race of devils. They're not God's chosen people, and they are certainly not the 12 tribes, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who is the Israel of the Bible, and who are they today? The answer will become apparent, but only by beginning with Adam, who was not the first human being, nor was he a part of the creation recorded in the first chapter of Genesis. The man Adam is not mentioned until verse 7 of the second chapter. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The King James translators did not accurately render this verse from the Hebrew text. Check it out for yourself. The phrase, "the Lord," is one Hebrew word which is Yahweh, and it is the personal name of God. Clinging to a perverted belief that the name of God was too holy to write or to speak, they substituted the term "the Lord" for God's name. Yes, your God has a name, and you are expected to use it. In Jesus' prayer in John 17:26, he says, "And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." If Jesus declared the name of God, and if we're going to be his followers, his disciples, then we too are expected to do as he did. Also remember, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he said, "After this manner, therefore, pray you: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Matthew 6:9. Two very important things come to light in this verse. First, we are asking that the name of God be hallowed, and second, professing that he is our Father. Let all the creation know that our God is Yahweh, and we are his offspring, his flesh and blood children in the earth. How else did the King Jimmy boys mess up Genesis 2:7? In the first instance, the name of God, they took one Hebrew word and made two generic English words from it. And in the second instance, they continue to play fast and loose by taking two Hebrew words and making one generic English word from them. The words translated "man" are "eth ha-dam." Literally, this should be translated "the Adam." And even though in verse 19 they get the Adam part right, they still leave out "eth ha," the Adam is a transliteration of the Hebrew word Adam, which means to show blood in the face, able to blush. This complexion characteristic is true for only the white race. And no, the Jews are not white. They cannot blush. Know this, Satan, by fathering a child, Cain, through the woman, was able to disguise his children to look like God's children by making them appear to be white. But they have this one flaw, and this is why you will never see a Jew blush. They are incapable of it. In current society, there are a lot of light-skinned people that are not white. How do you know the difference? Look for the blush. Be aware that Yahweh did not create Adam, but formed him into the earth. There is an obvious difference between creating something and forming something. Creating is to make something that did not previously exist, and forming is to take something that does exist and reshaping it. Adam had previously existed with God in the heavens as he was reshaped, formed into the earth in a flesh and blood body. And this body was not like any other race that previously existed. The Bible says that there were other races and nations of people on earth before Adam arrived. Where is this, you ask? Genesis 2:15 is the eye-opener. And the Lord Yahweh God took the man, Adam, and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. Did you miss its revelation? The Garden of Eden, by necessity, had to pre-exist Adam if he was put into it. You can't put something into that which does not exist. You say, so? The Garden of Eden was on earth before Adam, but what's so important about that? Genesis 2:16-17 says that there were trees in the garden, and Ezekiel 31:3-9 explains what these trees were. It starts out by saying, behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon. The Assyrian nation was symbolized as a tree, a giant tree like a cedar in Lebanon. Verse 6 clearly states that this symbolism pertains to races and nations when it says, and under his shadow dwelt all great nations. Now pay attention to verses 8 and 9. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches. Nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. There were trees in the garden of God. In Eden, they were family trees of races and nations. Whether you like it or not, this is what God says. Adam was not the first human being, but was the first son of God, Luke 3:38. It was from this Adamic white race that Semites, Hebrews, and Israelites came, and none of these terms apply to Jews. It was into this Adamic white Israel race that Jesus was born, and no, he was not a Jew. Matthew 1:1-17 and Luke 3:23-38. Jesus pre-existed this world, entered it in a flesh and blood body through the white Son of God race that began when Adam was transformed into the earth. Read John 1:1-2. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus was in the beginning, so were his Adamic white racial brothers. Our life did not begin when some man's sperm fertilized some woman's egg. But like Christ, we were in the heavens with our Father before the world ever began. The key to understanding is knowing that we, the Adamic white chosen race Israel, are the eternal bleeding offspring children of Yahweh God in the earth. He is our racial father. It was in the heavens when our names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Revelation 17:8. We, as the racial children of God, pre-existed this world, and this is all according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. All this is God's hidden wisdom and is a mystery to the world, as Paul says. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. 1 Corinthians 2:7. Through this earthly journey, our Father keeps us in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Titus 1:2. We did not come into existence by being born on earth in a flesh and blood body any more than did Jesus. Read what he prays in John 17:16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We are not of the world, but we were with our Father Yahweh before the world was. Be assured that it is God who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Timothy 1:9. All things pertaining to us were given us before the world began. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, Romans 8:29. You, the Adamic white people, are the ones that God did foreknow in the heavens. You, the Adamic white people, are the ones that God did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, your older brother. Why? So that we will be perfected just as Jesus was. Don't be ignorant of what was just stated. Did you think that Jesus was perfect when he came to earth in a flesh and blood body known as Jesus? As Paul said, I do not want you to be ignorant, so read what he wrote about Jesus in Hebrews 2:10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. The captain of our salvation was made perfect through sufferings. And Paul writes even more about this in Hebrews 5:8 through 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Just in case you did not get it, nothing can be made perfect that is already perfect. Which one comes first, perfection or suffering? It is the suffering that brings us to glory. Just as Paul says in Romans 8:16 through 17, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The glorious perfection of the Adamic white bleeding offspring children of God. Matthew 21:9 says that as Jesus made his way into Jerusalem, the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. This title, the Son of David, was given to Jesus by the people because they believed he was the Messiah, the Christ. In regards to this proclamation, He asked the Pharisees a question in Matthew 22:41-46 that even modern denominational religious dogma has not been able to answer. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think you of Christ? Whose son is he?" They saith unto him, "The son of David." He said unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord God said unto my Lord Christ, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord Christ, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. It was impossible for the Pharisees to answer this question without abandoning their perverted doctrine of the resurrection. Their belief, which is currently taught in all Christendom, is still stated by Martha in John 11:23-34. Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." As long as church kikes teach that the resurrection is only at the last day, they will never be able to explain how the son of David was also the ancestral Lord of David. In case you did not understand what Jesus meant in Matthew 22:41-46, read what he tells John in Revelation 22:16. "I, Jesus, am the root and offspring of David." How is it possible that he was both David's ancestor and descendant? Only if Jesus had lived on earth more than once. It is a common teaching in churchianity that Jesus had been born, lived, died, and resurrected only once. But this is not true according to the Bible. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 17:22-23, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the hands of men. They shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again." He did not say that the third day he shall be raised, but he shall be raised again. Paul says in Romans 4:25 that Jesus was raised again for our justification. And in Acts 13:33, it says that God hath raised up Jesus again. In verse 34, he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. And then in verse 37, "But he whom God hath raised again saw no corruption." No activity can be done again if it has not been done at least once. Jesus would have had to been raised at least once prior to his being raised again. Paul further pointed out that after being raised again, Jesus would now no more return to corruption. It would be senseless to say that one would no more return to where he had never been. According to these scriptures, it is apparent that Jesus had previously lived, died, saw corruption, was raised, and then lived, died, and was raised again, now no more to return to corruption. Does the Bible tell us who Jesus was when he first lived, died, and saw corruption? Yes. In Revelation 22:13, Jesus tells John, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." This is also the opening statement that Jesus makes in Revelation 1:11, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." It must be realized that the two words, first and last, are modifiers, must refer to something. There's only one place in the Bible which uses these words to modify something, and it is in 1 Corinthians 15, the only chapter dedicated to the subject of resurrection. Verse 45, where Paul speaks of the first and last Adam. Nowhere does any scripture imply that there are two different people named Adam. Jesus said in Revelation, I am the first Adam and the last Adam. It was as the first Adam that Jesus lived, died, saw corruption, and was the root of David. And it was as the last Adam that he was raised from corruption, born 2,000 years ago as Jesus, lived, died, and was raised again now, no more to return to corruption, and was the offspring of David. Being raised again is not limited to Jesus. Go back to what he told Martha in John 11:23. Thy brother shall rise again. Also, Jesus told his disciples that John the Baptist was Elias, that is Elijah. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias, Elijah, truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias, Elijah, is come already. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Matthew 17:11-13. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, John the Baptist, which was for to come. Matthew 11:14. Christianism will never receive this. They do not teach the word spoken by Jesus because what he says is in conflict with their social gospel of salvation. They twist and pervert the very words and teachings of Christ just like the Jew Pharisees. In 1 Kings 18, it's recorded how Elijah challenged the 450 prophets of Baal to a showdown on Mount Carmel, to prove who is the true God, his or theirs. These prophets were unsuccessful in calling fire down from heaven, but Elijah did, and he ordered the people to take these prophets of Baal to the brook Kishon and cut off their heads. 1 Kings 19, Queen Jezebel swore she would do to Elijah what he had done to her prophets. Verse 3 says, he arose and went for his life. It was as John the Baptist that Elijah had to face the very death he fearfully ran away from, beheading. As recorded in Mark 6:17-19, John was beheaded at the request of the queen, and she was given his head in a charger. The Bible teaches that others have already been resurrected, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his, Jesus, resurrection, went into the holy city and appeared unto many, Matthew 27:52-53. The resurrection is not over either, according to Paul in 2 Timothy 2:18. Jesus even speaks of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as already resurrected and alive. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Matthew 22:31-33. Today, the multitudes of church cacks are just as astonished at his doctrine of the resurrection. The corrupted clerics reject the teachings of Jesus about resurrection by quoting Hebrews 9:27, where it says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Then what about Enoch and Elijah? Genesis 5:18-24 gives the account of Enoch, which was the descendant of Seth. Notice the last verse says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." There will be some ignorant enough to claim that this verse did not mean that Enoch did not die, but they should be directed to Hebrews 10:5. "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God." Elijah also left earth without experiencing death. This account is given in 2 Kings 2:9 through 14. Notice what verse 11 says. "And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." These men lived and did not die. Hebrews 9:27 is not about living once, but is about the work that Jesus Christ did, which is another subject too vast to be addressed now. Suffice it to be said that Hebrews 9:27 does not mean nor state all men live once, die, and then face God's final judgment. For a clearer understanding of this verse, keep it in context and read Hebrews chapters 8 through 10. According to the scriptures, the resurrection has been going on for millenniums, is still going on, and will continue until the last trumpet. "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." 1 Corinthians 15:52. This is only at the sounding of the last trumpet that all the dead shall finally be raised incorruptible. Notice that Revelation 8:2 and 6 speak of seven trumpets, and Numbers chapter 10 outlines when the trumpets, plural, are to be blown. The whole purpose of resurrection is to bring the Adamic white Israel race to perfection. Biblical resurrection is the process through which perfection is accomplished, and all who live in the past can only reach that perfection by living in the present in us. We are our ancestors, and they are us. The 11th chapter of Hebrews speaks of this phenomenon and concludes in verse 40 that they, without us, should not be made perfect. In case you missed it, that they, people of past ages, without us, same people in the present age, should, would, could not be made perfect. For those who refuse to believe the Bible's teaching on resurrection, based upon their lack of remembering them, they should be aware that there are things that they believe happened to them that they don't remember. One time everyone was in their mother's womb, and yet no one remembers this. Conscious memory is a poor thing at best. But locked away in the subconscious is the entire knowledge of the ages. The children of God contain within them their Father's Spirit, and it is this divine part of us that stores the principles learned in the past. We, as the Adamic white Israel bleeding offspring children of God, are alive from the past, in the present, and into the future. The question of life or lives can now be answered for the Adamic white Israel Western man. As a child goes to school, returns home, goes again the next day, returns home again, and so on until the child grows, learns, passes, and graduates. We too go from home to school in a cycling process until we are perfect. perfected and graduate. Jesus was the first to begin this process as the first Adam, and he was perfected, becoming the first Son of God to finish this process as the last Adam. He is the trailblazer and is guiding his brothers on this same journey that he finished. Yes, he is the way. And this is why Hebrews 12:2 says that we must be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Philippians 1:16. Remember Jesus' prayer in John 17:26, "And I have declared unto them thy name, Yahweh, and will declare, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." He is guiding us from within, dwelling in the divine spirit inside of each of God's Adamic white children as they journey back and forth from home to school. The spirit is as much a part of our DNA as the white body we inhabit, and it is this spirit that grows, develops, and is perfected in the schoolhouse of earth. It is the force of this spirit and power that takes us to glory, graduation. We are the racial people of the spirit of life, past, present, and future. We are eternal. We contain in that spirit the presence of Jesus himself, as stated in Colossians 1:27. We are the divine race to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have life built upon life. We go from glory to glory. We are eternal. We are the children of God, becoming the sons of God.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.